This episode of Recap the Recap is brought to you by Tweaked Audio. Go to tweakedaudio.com, put in the code IDS, get yourself some kick-ass headphones, free shipping worldwide. Well, hello there. Hey, boy, hey. Hey, girl, hey. Hello, people. I'm Queen Neen. And I don't want to introduce you because last time you jumped over my head to get to the mic.
I am your man, Big B. How you doing?
Oh, great. I'm hoping you are fantastic. Welcome to an episode of Recap the Recap, where we recap podcasts that we listen to, and we try to introduce them to you.
Yes, that's what we do.
Mm-hmm. But in between, you know, we like to give a little bit of news, talk about stuff. Our recap show is different than everybody else's recap show. They may just tell you about a podcast, but we recap it. By doing that, we break it down. We play some clips. And then we talk about it. Like, I feel like ours is different. No?
No, that's your feeling. That's how you feel. Stand by your feelings.
Oh, boy.
You're definitely different.
Yeah. Oh, did you say I'm definitely different or we're? Like, the two of us, sir.
Listen to the playback.
Oh, boy.
How you doing? Path.
I'm great. Thank you for asking. And yourself?
I'm well.
Yeah?
Yes, I am. Considering.
Considering what?
Considering the temperature of my black skin.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. It's kind of hot to walk around in this skin nowadays.
To me, it seems like it's been hot to walk around for a while.
But I mean, it has, but
the block is hot.
The temperature has been turned up.
Yeah, the block is hot.
Reality is all up in her.
Right. You know what? And this is that one moment where I always tell you I have like a love-hate relationship with like Twitter. I mean, I haven't been on it in a while, if anybody noticed or anybody cared. Or cares, but
I noticed I stopped getting 9 trillion pings because you know you can't just respond with one response.
We're not talking about text messages, we're talking about Twitter.
I'm talking about Twitter too.
I can't help it if people
and OT.
People will
never one tweet,
people will tweet,
and you will tweet
and
back,
and I will
three.
Have to respond. And then you know what though? You're slow on the uptake when it comes to Twitter. Because a lot of times people will respond and then I will respond to that response.
In triplicate.
No.
Yeah.
And plus you only get 140 characters. So if it's a tweet that has to do with you, Drew, and Mark, I mean, come on, man. That's taking up a whole bunch of letters. A whole bunch of characters right there.
And pick up the phone and call them.
Or not, because it might not be somebody I know in real life, as they say.
You know, you can erase us out of it. So you can have all the space you want.
Oh, after a while I do. When you guys don't respond, I do normally take you out.
Great.
Of the equation.
Do that from the start.
Because then you guys are, then it just gets so like, nobody's responding. And somebody is taking their time out to tweet. So then you gotta, you know, tweet them back.
Yeah.
Anywho, all right, whatever. So if you want to find me on Twitter, MS_SmartyPants with a Z. Show up is Recap the Recap. Do you even care to tell them yours or?
Absolutely, don't always. In Deep Show B, you know it.
Do they? What if they're new?
In Deep Show B.
then okay, now they know it. But you know, that's why I was breaking it down.
You.
That's why I was breaking it down in the beginning, because I'm like, hey, what if somebody new stumbled across our show?
And Deep Show B, spelled out all the way.
Okay.
No underscores.
Hey, I told you I had to do that because it was already taken.
Not talking about you. Allaboutme.com.
Well, normally it's allaboutyou.com.
Talking about me. No underscores and my Twitter handle.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Just spelled out. INDEEPSHOW.
Show enough.
B. Nope, that's another show.
I didn't say she or he. Hey, girl, speaking of you, thank you for the shout out. Shout out to Shebe, sure enough. Thank you for the shout out on your show. Straight up no chaser.
Oh yeah, she gave a shout out?
Mm-hmm.
I have a little bit behind on a couple shows.
I am a behind
I'm
on
one
a lot.
I'm one show behind on theirs, but I'm been trying to catch up on some of the other ones that with all of the family issues going down.
I know. How about that? I am really behind, but that's okay. I tend to catch up, so forgive me when, you know, I am infamous for doing the, you know, just letting people know what I listen to, because, you know, you never know. You might turn somebody on to a new show, so I always like to do that.
Never know.
Right.
Just might turn somebody on.
Well, maybe. Just maybe.
No doubt.
Anyway, okay. Awkward transition.
Awkward.
So, okay. We all know, I mean, unless you've been under a serious rock or you've been in a hole or I don't know. We all know about the whole Bill Cosby thing and what's going on and, you know, the allegations, the, you know, it's been happening with him. But so locally, you know, we have this space, or excuse me, this spot called Ben's Chili Bowl. And I don't know if you guys that, you know, maybe, you know, cross on the other side of the U.S. if you guys know about Ben's Chili Bowl, but it's a really popular touristy kind of spot where people come in and literally tour buses will pull up in front of this spot. Bill Cosby, you know, reps it all the time. There are pictures of him all over the place in this place, and they have like hot dogs and, you know, chili dogs and
half smokes.
Yeah, half smokes, hamburgers, blah blah blah. So, you know, right now Clinton Yates from the Washington Post there's a big mural of Bill Cosby, Obama, and Donnie Simpson, who used to be on WPGC and also Video Soul for the old people. So he is trying to petition, for lack of a better term, them to get rid of the mural of Bill Cosby and also to get rid of any of the pictures or anything that would remind people that Bill Cosby is affiliated with Ben's Chili Bowl. Now to my knowledge, he doesn't own any percentage of it. I believe it's the Ali family still. But so they're just trying to like wipe him off the map when it comes to, you know, this local DC icon, Ben's Chili Bowl. What do you think about that, B?
You know, it's six in one hand, half dozen in another. If I take the standpoint of much to do about nothing, or I take the standpoint of, you know, so much time has gone past, or, you know, it's, you know, you're so insensitive, and blah, 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 and, you know, rape is a serious allegation, and all of that. And, you know, the thing about it is, there's so much to debate, there's so much opinion. It just, to me, I don't know. I don't really have a dog in this fight.
What do you mean by that?
I don't really have an opinion that important either way. If something goes down and it happens, okay, I'm like, oh, all right. If something doesn't happen, I'm like, oh, all right. I just don't really. It's not moving me one way or another, you know. So, I mean, yeah, everybody's taking him off of everything. The Navy has stripped his title.
I heard that too. Temple. You know, he resigned
from Temple. But still. And I'm sure it was pressure.
I'm sure.
I don't know. I just.
Well, I think honestly it should be up to the Ali family. And please forgive me if I'm. But that's the name that really sticks out in my head. You know, I think it's up to them. You know, I don't think it's up to Clinton Yates from the Washington Post to say whether or not they should get rid of his picture or his existence.
Right.
You know, I mean,
that's that family's relationship with him.
Right. I mean, they've known him for like a bazillion years, right. You know, so they, you know. And it is the Ali family. You know, they've been around him. They know his heart, and you know, and it should be their decision whether or not they want to take that mural down or take any of the pictures down, because there are a lot of pictures of him, you know, with the family. And you know, when they just dedicated the mural, side note, cannot forget the Godfather, Chuck Brown is also in that mural. But yeah, I think Bill Cosby was here when they dedicated it. So I don't know. I mean, I think again, it's up to them. So I'm not gonna say, you know, take it down, paint over it, put somebody else's face up there. You know, whatever. I don't honestly go to Ben's Chili Bowl anymore anyway, and I don't think that's gonna take away from their business if they do. I mean, there probably will be the select few that say, "Oh my God, you have a picture of Bill Cosby. I'm walking back out the door," you know. But then that select few, there's still going to be about, you know, 15, 20, 30 other people that are going to walk back in the door and support Ben's Chili Bowl. So, you know.
Give me a chili dog, chili fries, and I'm going home and watching Mother Jones and Speed.
Oh.
Fuck all y'all.
Okay. Well, there's that.
Uptown Saturday Night.
I haven't seen that movie in a long time, but there goes that. All right.
And Bill Cosby himself.
Hey, well.
Marathon.
The Cosby Show?
Well, can't find that shit no more unless you have it on TV. Right.
Oh, unless you have like a
beta tape somewhere.
Oof. Or like an iPad. You can watch like Hulu or YouTube or something. I still think that was crazy. I'm like, damn, y'all, they jumped the gun so quick that it's like, they took the Cosby Show off the air. I mean, and mind you, there are other people that are on that show. So it wasn't like it was just, I mean, I understand it was called the Cosby Show, but there were other people that are on that show with him too.
Talk about awkward transition.
Uh-oh.
Have you seen Elise Bonet and Lenny Kravitz's daughter lately? Jesus Christ.
Not lately. I mean.
My word.
She looked the same the last time I saw her. Is there something different about her?
I mean, they just had some pictures of her at the beach.
Oh, okay. Wow. That was an awkward transition, but
with her perfectly sculpted derriere.
Okay.
Yes.
She is a cross between those two, like for real.
She really is.
Yeah. And she looks like both of them.
Yeah, I'm looking more at the Lisa Bonet side of her.
How do you know? Lenny has a nice ass, too.
I'll take your word for it.
And he has sculpted abs too.
I'm looking at the angel heart ass.
I'm just saying, he has a nice ass.
He has a nice scarf.
You know that was Photoshop, right? It really wasn't that big.
That would fucking be awesome if it was.
It would have been super cool though. But that scarf wasn't the one he was wearing. Wasn't that big because it was like somebody was smart enough to, you know, find the real picture and then like the, you know, Photoshop one. Uh-huh. I need people to stop doing that shit. Stop Photoshopping pictures and shit. Like, that's so rude. Cause you know people like sometimes shit like me, we're gonna be lazy and we're not gonna go to Google Images and figure out whether or not
this shit is real. But see, you know what's gonna
happen is what?
That shit is gonna fuck around and take off, and then that person's gonna say, "I started that trend. I want back pay from all these companies that took my idea." for me being a jackass. Car? And that it looked kind of slick, yo.
That shit looked like he was about to fall over. Like, I would say, like, you could rock it because you're tall and, like, you're bigger than him.
And my ass is nicer than his.
Okay.
Just thought I thought I'd in there.
All right. Okay. Let's go with that.
Here, check it out.
Toink, toink, toink. All right. So, I know by now you've heard about Elizabeth.
Yeah.
What?
Got Lisa Bonet on your mind too, huh?
No, I have your heart-shaped derriere on my mind.
Oh.
Especially with the little twink, twink. That threw me off. Elizabeth. Elizabeth Lawton. This is the chick that was the rep, the Republican for the Republican, Stephen Fincher. And she's the one who was talking about the Obama girls and saying that they should try showing a little bit of class and not making faces and dress like you deserve respect and not that you're at a sports bar. Okay, whatever. First of all, were dressed like young girls.
What sports
dress
bar does she go to?
Right. Clearly you haven't seen the picture of her when she was younger. She had a bottle hanging from her mouth. Like, no hands, Ma.
No, I'm talking about where they dress like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
you know, I really feel like there's something more to that story.
What do you mean?
There's no way on God's green earth. Mm-hmm. That she could not have known that that comment was career suicide.
You know what, though? I think sometimes people are so arrogant that they make and do dumbass things, and then karma comes back and bites them in the ass. You know what I'm saying? Like, because she's the... because she's the, you know, the communications director, she had to know what the fuck she was doing. That's what her job is. But she did it on her personal... You know, like in a personal or what she deemed personal Facebook post, like, duh, like everything gets out everywhere these days. You know, you can always go back and look at shit.
Oh, I asked that.
You know what I'm saying? So anyway, so yeah, she was just like, you know, I get it. You guys are in your awful teen years and you're, you know, that you're part of the first family. Show some class, you know. And I don't agree with that people went back through that woman's record and found out that she was arrested for shoplifting and they had some picture of her at a party with a beer in her mouth. There. But see, right, true.
But, I want someone to follow this woman for the next 3-4 months or what have you. Or at least until Barack is out of office. I got her coming up missing.
Ooh. You think Michelle did it? Michelle going to do it?
No.
Okay. I'm just saying, you know, she a mom.
What am I going to do? Man. Oh, Michelle is in the bedroom like, you going to handle that, right?
Right. That's what I'm saying. She a mom. So
I got a baby. I got
it. Those are her little boos.
Exactly.
So that's all I'm saying. But you know what I actually thought was really cute is Jenna Bush. You know, one of the Bush twins. What? Why are you about to laugh? Shut up. One of the Bush twins came out today and was like, look.
Sounds like always sound like a porn to me. Jenna Bush.
Actually kind of does. She was saying that she's fiercely protective of them because, you know, she'd been there, done that, you know. And like when she was growing up, it was really rough on them. Of course, they were older when they were, you know, in the White House. But, you know, it's like it's hard growing up as a child that's in the spotlight like that. You know, you don't want to be there. You didn't ask for it.
And it makes it hell of hard to try to acquire the cocaine that you seek.
Well, see, I wasn't going to bring up that part. But, I mean, they did a lot of, like, they did a lot of bad shit. Let's just put it that way. Everybody, you already know that the Bush girls did a lot of bad shit. But that aside, you know, I think, you know, they understand.
We learned it from you, Dad.
I learned it from watching you. But she gets it, you know. So she's like, leave them alone, man. They don't deserve all this shit.
Did she just have a
kid? Yeah, she had a baby.
Hey, so she gets it, definitely.
Okay, great. So, yeah, that was gross. Okay, now, I don't know this dude, but do you know the NFL player Darnell Dockett? Are you familiar with him? Okay. So apparently, I guess Malia, let me remind everybody, Malia is a baby. She's 16. So on Twitter, some guy posted something. I guess, you know, I know little Malia had a little booty on her, but apparently somebody noticed it and she was leaning against some post at a game. And some guy posted something that was like, when is her prom? And, you know, this dummy responded back and said something like, you know, like, oh my God, or, you know, and then I guess somebody else commented, and it was kind of that, like that laugh out loud or laugh my ass off kind of thing. And it was kind of, and he deleted that post, but he was trying to tell people like, hey, I never said anything about her body. I didn't disrespect her, but it was still kind of like, you kind of co-signed on all those people that were talking about that little girl's body. So, you know, and he said, he was like, I have a daughter. And I would never do anything like that. You guys need to stop tripping. So, yeah. Darnell, stop being gross, okay? You don't want nobody looking at your little girl like that either. I don't know how old your daughter is, but you don't want anybody looking at your daughter like that. So, all right, we're going to get ready to go to break. But when we go, before we go, I want you guys to know, have you heard of this Criming While White? And the new hashtag, that's a new hashtag that's out. I'm going to talk about that when we start talking about the shows we're going to recap. Okay? So we'll be right back. Stay tuned. You guys have been paying attention in the news to everything that's been going on, and so I was, you know, just looking on social media, and I was looking on the Huffington Post and Washington Post, and so I came across a new hashtag called Criming While White, and I was like, okay, what is this about now? Because, you know, we have the hashtag Black Lives Matter, and we have hashtag Hands Up Don't Shoot, hashtag Dear Black Men, and those are in regards to Eric Gardner, Michael Brown, Ezell Ford, and just other black people who have just, you know, have died at the hands of police, you know, police officers. So like I said, this one hashtag, and I'm like, I feel like I want to feel like this is in solidarity to everybody that's out there going through, you know, to people of color, you know, but it just seemed like, oh gosh, you know, is it kind of like, you know, white people just kind of like jumping on board? But then as I kind of went through a few of them, I kind of felt like, okay, well, maybe they actually get it. I'm not really sure. So I'm going to just read some of them so you guys can get an idea if you want to just go look at the hashtag Criming While White. So one person says, arrested for a DUI, cop took me to to drive to an ATM so I'd have money to bail myself out. Hashtag criming while white. Because we know that would not happen to a person of color. Another person said, friend with a suspended license gets a flat tire pulled over in someone else's car. Cop says he will use my license because I'm the passenger to get out of it. Okay. How nice for you, sir or ma'am. Another person said, arrested for stealing street signs Christmas Eve back in high school. Probation waived as it would interfere with drama club. How lovely.
Nice.
My 13-year-old son and his friends were lording at Walgreens recently. Only his black friend got a search for shoplifting. Mm-hmm. Okay. I dined in Dash. A cop found me at the movies. I paid the bill and he left. I was rude, but not arrested and not killed. That's so lucky for you. Cause, so lucky for you. One more. How about this one? Someone very close to me assaulted a state police officer at a traffic stop once. Was out by 9 a.m. and later beat the case. Isn't that cool? Ooh, okay. I'm sorry. This one's good too. One more on this one. Got pulled over for a brake light out, underage and drinking, blew over the limit. Cop let me walk to my friend's apartment. Isn't that cool? That's great. Yeah, gotta love that. So on the other side of that hashtag, there's another one that's hashtag alive while black. Okay. One person said, robbed at gunpoint, didn't want to go to the cops, to the police until my mom urged me to. Told police my story, treated me as if I robbed someone. Hashtag alive while black. Cracked my taillight, told me never to come back to their city, quote unquote, after dropping off white female friend. Stopped walking to my godmother's from bus stop. Cop says he thought I might be working corners. What?
All too familiar.
My birthday balloon sets off alarm at my house. Cops don't let my father in, thinking he's robbing the joint. Hashtag alive while black. Oh, this one's good. After they pulled us over searching for a gun, cops stole $200 from us. Since we were so scared, we didn't complain. Okay. Now, this one I've gotten before. You're pretty for a black girl. Okay, thanks. I think. Thank you? Cops thought my parents ran a red light. They get pulled over with guns drawn. Good times. Yeah. So now this one, I really was like, yep, pretty much. So my last one, black men have had to develop a sixth sense of sorts. Head on a swivel because you never know when the police will show up. Hashtag alive while black. So you guys go out there and check out some of those hashtags, I'm sure. And you probably definitely have your own stories. So if you want to go ahead and, you know, join those two. So today, instead of recapping a podcast, we're just going to spotlight two podcasts that we found interesting. And they're talking about just everything that's going on in the news, you know, regarding Ferguson and Eric Gardner and just everything that's just crazy. Like, I'm feeling like it's 1960 all over again when I watch the news. That was one of my FB posts. So, B, you want to talk about your show today?
Yeah. Boy. the show that I'm doing today is probably one of the most sort of powerful moments in podcasting that I've been able to hear, especially because I'm sort of close to the situation in a sense that I'm close to the person. You know, we all, again, not to beat a dead horse, we all know what's what has gone down with all of these, you know, cops being just basically let loose. Mm-hmm. You know, with pats on the back, you know, mm-hmm. thank you for helping us thin out the herd, and mm-hmm. you know, there'll be a bonus for you down the line. I want to play a little something from the Black Astronauts podcast. For those of you that haven't heard it, it's definitely a must listen. For those of you that know Brother Aaron and have listened to his shows and know his personality and, you know his nature, to hear him on this show was moving, to say the least. So we'll get into this first one here, and we'll come back and wrap about it.
Let me tell you a little bit about my life. So my brother was killed by the motherfucking police. So every time this shit happens, it brings it all back up. And the verdict came out. And I was so angry because all I saw in Mike Brown was my brother's face. And I couldn't say anything because I didn't want my wife to see. I didn't want to upset my child. So I'm standing in the motherfucking living room crying to my motherfucking self. And all I'm thinking about is my big brother Moody. And the show he did a motherfucking year ago. A year ago. And you know what it said? The shit said, new motherfucking rules. It's new rules and motherfuckers ain't playing fair.
Queen, I don't know if you remember our show around that same time, and I think it was me and Drew sort of had a bit of a debate. And those were the exact mm-hmm. points that I echoed.
I remember that. Yeah. That was a rough show.
That was definitely a rough show for us, mm-hmm. and that was my very point, mm-hmm. that you are doing your children a disservice if you do not arm them. And when I say arm them, I don't mean with weapons. I mean with knowledge to handle what they're about to go through. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And those were my exact words as well. It's new rules out here. It's a totally different game. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I know it's tough, right?
I mean, I'm going to, you know, be honest and say this, like I said earlier, I am really behind in listening to podcasts. Even, you know, shows I have saved as my favorite, I'm behind. So this episode is the hashtag Ferguson off my chest episode that B is spotlighting today. And man, I had no idea. So I'm like, I feel like now I got to be in the right frame of mind, not only to hear the rest of the clips you're going to play, but to, you know, listen to this show, because, you know, Aaron, you know, I've never met him in person, but I feel like he's family and he means a lot to me. And just to hear that, in his voice just makes me feel like, oh God, you know, just, oh, I feel like, I mean, we got a long show to go. I feel all like I want to fucking get weepy, you know? I'm like, and we still have, like, I still need to, you know, go through the rest of these clips and spotlight.
Right.
So, ooh.
And, you know, hey, you gotta imagine whatever he might have felt a year ago has to be tenfold with the fact that he just brought a child into this world. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I think if I'm not mistaken, there was even a point in the show in which he's told his wife, you know, can't have any more kids. Mm. Can't bring, or I don't know if it's any more kids, or just couldn't have a son. Can't do it.
Oh, wow.
Because you can't bring that child into this, what we have going on. Mm. And that's horrible. That's horrible.
That is horrible. Because I know he is so happy and proud to be a dad that I couldn't imagine him feeling that way. Right. You know? So, goddamn, you could have gave me some warning or something.
Yeah. Hey, I ain't get one.
Damn.
I had to deal with this shit at work.
Yeah.
So, anyway. For me, as I listened to the show, there was only one way to gather yourself and rebound from what you just heard. And that was just a part of it. Mm. That was just part of it. And I was, for as much as I listen to this show, and as much as I may disagree with a lot of what can, a lot of her opinions sometimes, and you know, it's a healthy disagreement. Mm-hmm. It's just everybody's not going to agree. Mm-hmm. I felt she completely stepped up to the plate and hit a home run with her follow-up.
So, first, I just want to say, as a black woman to black men, cry with us. Let us see that shit. We don't think you're any less of a man for crying with us. This shit is infuriating. It's painful. It's hurtful. Don't ever think you have to pretend to be invulnerable to this. It's inhumane to expect you to be that way. It's not realistic. Cry with us because we love you and we care about you. I don't think that you're less of a protector because you feel. If anything, it helps me recognize that you can empathize with my pain as a marginalized person. So please, please don't make that your posture. You're not protecting us from anything when you don't show us you're real.
Sister Can, I take my hat off to you.
That was real talk. You know, especially seeing, like I told you before, it's like on Twitter, I have a love-hate relationship with Twitter. And I always see a lot of, just unhappiness and turmoil and back and forth between black men and black women. And to hear, you know, Can say that, I mean, that's real talk, you know, because I think, like, just like black women, I think a lot of times, black men don't think that it's okay to show that weak or quote unquote weak side, you know, when they cry. And it's okay. I mean, first of all, it means everything if a man can cry in front of you, because that means to me, that means he trusts you so much. So I just co-sign everything she just said, and I'm like, yes, you know, thank you for putting that out there, because again, just like women, I don't think men get to hear words like that enough. You know, I'm gonna knock you out for doing these clips. Now I feel like I want to be all like
no doubt. So the other person that was on this show was the brother, the newest member, CY, and I'm going to be fair in saying that, you know, a lot of what he was feeling was anger, just straight anger, and he made a lot of good points throughout the show. I will give him that. You know, I don't want to be, unfair. But one of the points that I took was actually one that I really didn't agree with. Mm-hmm. And, he and Aaron kind of went back and forth a little bit with it. And, I'll play and we'll come back and rap about it.
Right. Come on, man.
Unarmed, and a pair of flip-flops.
Flip-flops, yeah, right. Come
this
on,
is what
man.
We're doing.
But really? they accept us. The government expects us to accept it. You're like, oh, yeah, that's okay.
And this is, per our conversation last time we were on, these are the reasons why I said, fuck Obama.
See, this is the only thing I will say about that. I won't say fuck Obama because black people aren't the only people that elected Obama.
It doesn't matter.
But
look, no, hold. Let me jump in right there. Because I don't give a fuck what president was up there. I don't give a fuck what color the police officer was. I don't give a fuck what color the child was. It doesn't motherfucking matter. It was an unarmed teenager, and a police officer did not shoot to kill. He did not use his taser. He did not use his pepper spray. He did not use a baton. He did not put hands on this boy. He shot and killed him. He shot him more than 5 motherfucking times. Doesn't matter if Obama's black. It matters that that was a child and that was a police officer, and he fucking killed him and had no remorse. Fuck the fact that he's black. Quit protecting this nigga because he's black. He did the wrong motherfucking thing. So you don't come out and be like, oh, you got it. Well, we have to accept it. No, the fuck we don't.
This is what
a grown man shot a child, bro.
And I get it. I'm not saying that you don't have the right to feel that way. The only thing I'm thinking of is, when is the last time a president even fucking spoke out on this?
That doesn't exonerate him from being wrong. Why do niggas love to protect this motherfucker, man? He was wrong. I don't give a fuck if it was George Bush. I don't give a fuck if it was Bibble off of motherfucking Dave Chappelle.
But
motherfucker was wrong.
But
okay.
I can't speak for him. Mm-hmm. I really don't know him. Other than a few times, I've heard him on the show. But I just really, to me, I just really feel like that was a reach. I mean, what did you really want? Let me get this right for you. President Barack Obama to do. Come out there and be like, oh, that's some fucked up shit, y'all. Go find the nearest white person and get him. I mean, what did you really want him to do? He still has a country to run. And yeah, this is horrible on all scales. But stop and think for a minute. This is just one thing that President Barack Obama has to worry about. He still has to deal with this. He has to take this to bed with him. He has to deal with the fact that he can't come out there and say the things that he wants to really say what's in his heart. You know what I'm saying? Because, but in all honesty, Barack could have came out there and said some shit that would have set this country off. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He could have said some things meaning to say something else, and it could have been mistaken and
misconstrued.
And really, we would have really had a situation on our hands.
Agreed.
So he has to be very cautious and very calculated in the words that he uses.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And again, I understand, bro, you angry.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think that was just way left with fuck Obama. You know what I'm saying? Because I think as a president of the United States, this man has showed more empathy to the common man than any president before him. At least that I know. I mean, if there's been more, I mean, I think Jimmy Carter is.
I would say Jimmy Carter, probably Bill Clinton.
I think Bill did a lot, but I don't think Bill did. I think a lot of what Bill did on the ground level mm-hmm. came after his presidency. I feel
okay. I mean,
you know, he did a lot of things out of character for a president.
Sure,
like late night TV. Mm-hmm. You know, playing his saxophone and shit like that, mm-hmm. and his loose, charismatic nature. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking about ground level shit. Mm-hmm. You know, and I just think, I'll say it. Dude, I just think that was just mad disrespectful, what you said. Mm-hmm. Anger or not, that was just disrespectful to the president of the United States. You know, for you, I mean, that's like almost the equivalent, like, you get fired and you want Barack to come and talk to your boss about why he fired you unjustly. Dude, he has, you know, this is a very big issue. This is, and I'm not trying to undermine it in any way, but guess what? He still has a lot of shit on his plate too that needs immediate attention as well. So, I don't know. Yeah.
I can dig it. Having not heard what they were discussing before and what they were talking about after, I can only comment on the little bit that I heard then, just now. And I will say, I will have to definitely agree with Aaron when he said that, you know, he took the time out to say something because he sees that it, you know, the president does see that it does affect, or it is affecting what is happening to everyone. And, you know, we have to also remember that our president is not just a black man. He is a man that is mixed, but, you know, he still cares, you know, what is happening out there, you know. You know, although he has girls, you know, I think a lot of times he sees, like, the young black men, what's happening to them. He sees himself in them. Because even an article I was reading today was talking about the mayor of New York, de Blasio, how he was saying, like, his son with the big afro, how he sees himself in him when he was younger, you know. And, you know, and the mayor was saying how he has to talk to his son, and his wife, of course, has to talk to his son. And they've been talking to him for years, like, you got to be careful out there. You're a black man, or you will be perceived as a black man. So you have to be careful. So I do think that our president understands from that perspective that being a, you know, black man, although, you know, biracial, but still visually being a black man, that it is rough in these streets for y'all. You know, and so I don't know if he was speaking out of just frustration or anger, or if that's how he normally speaks about the president. I don't know. So, you know, darling, if you're listening, if you want to come on our show and talk about it, please feel free. But, you know, whatever. It is what it is. And sometimes we just, you know, we say things when we're in the heat of the moment. And, you know, again, I can't, you know, say that for sure, because I don't know if that's how he always is. I don't know. But when I've listened to him before on the show, he seems to be a little more calm, a little more level-headed. But this situation just brings up, you know, just some shit, like some feelings that you never thought would either, that was tucked way, way deep, 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 deep. And I mean, as a black person, as a white person, because, you know, like everybody, I'm sure you all have noticed, no matter who is listening to the show, whether you're a black person, a white person, a Latino person, whatever, Asian, you know, if you looked at some of your Facebook posts or look at some of your friends or your cohorts or whatever acquaintances on Twitter, that you're like, what the hell? What? You posted that? Like, I put a post on somebody else's page that was kind of like, hey, you are nice and you're awesome, because the people that make comments on your page, you're very kind in your responses. I mean, I'm paraphrasing with something else, but, you know, it was just me telling him that because I, you know, sometimes it's like you see somebody's post and you're like, oh, maybe I'll comment on it. But you go through and you start looking at the comments and you're like, oh, shit. And I don't want to get involved in this shit because then it's going to be a whole big thing. So, you know, he was very nice in his posting. And I'm like, ugh, I don't know how you could do that. You know, because some people are genuinely assholes, and So, but anyway, I digress, and I'll keep going on and on.
No doubt. Before I throw it over to you, Nene, I just want to kind of go back through real quick, sure. And I just want to applaud Aaron, CY, and Kan for. I mean, they literally bled their hearts on this show. They opened up and let people see inside of them.
That's what's up.
You know, Aaron to just share these personal moments of his life, mm-hmm. and Kan just amazing. I mean, Kan's words in this show really reset my level of understanding and patience for women. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I take my hat off to you, sister. That awesome show. And again with CY, he really opened up and you know, led us into you know, things with he and his dad, and I just really applaud y'all's efforts on this show. It was so raw. It was so organic. It was real.
So cool. Well, Black Astronauts Podcast, they're on Twitter at Black Astronauts 1. And of course, if you want to listen to the show, you can go to Stitcher or pretty much everywhere you can find a podcast. I'm sure you'll find them. So, okay. So the show I am spotlighting today is Americans United Again podcast. And this podcast is Ricky and Sherelle. The episode I did was episode 15, and they happened to have some guests on this show. And it was Molly and John from the Pennymon Doctrine and Iffy. And, I don't know what made me listen to the show. It's on my list to recap, but for some reason, I don't know why, I thought, you know what, let me check out and see what AUA is talking about. And because I knew that they would be discussing Ferguson, and so I don't know why, so I pushed play. So in the first clip, Ricky, confuse the voices, because I don't really have everybody's voice down yet, but I believe this is Ricky, and he's talking, he's reading some of the tweets from the MSNBC legal analyst Lisa Bloom, and she's breaking he's breaking down the tweets, her tweets, excuse me.
So many missed opportunities for cross-examination of Wilson. Should have been a grueling session, not the Tea Party the transcript shows. 3, how Wilson should have been cross-examined. How did Brown solidly full force punch you twice in the face, yet you have no injuries to reflect that?
Right.
4, key to cross-exam would be requiring Wilson to explain how Brown allegedly taking one step toward Wilson is charging him. 5, Wilson testified he didn't think about whether Mike Brown was armed, but then he focuses on Brown's hand and waistband. Implication is weapon. Common sense. 6, a good trial lawyer doesn't assume. Wilson, Brown's hand and waistband. Make him say he feared weapon. Then confront him with prior contrary statement. 7, hospital records for Darren Wilson's same day visit. And this part of the tweet is directly from the report itself, but it says, well-appearing, well-nourished, and no apparent distress. No one asked him to explain. The hospital report was only about 2.5 hours after the incident had even happened. So,
You know, I thought about that, and the reason why I spotlighted that one part that he was talking about, because I had a whole conversation on Facebook with somebody, and I normally don't like to go on someone else's Facebook page and, you know, talk about something that they're talking about, because I at some point I feel like maybe if it gets too heated, I'll be disrespecting their personal page. But for some reason, I just had to make a comment because someone was saying some just outlandish shit. And I was like, I can't not say something, you know. And they were talking about, you know, Darren Wilson and how he was, you know, Mike Brown punched him in the face. And I was like, okay, well, I saw the pictures. Did you see the same pictures I saw? Because really, if he punched him in his face twice, I don't think it looked just like he was either smacked or maybe he was just red. He looks like one of those people that sometimes, you know, like you're around people that get red when they're drinking.
Right.
Like he looked, and flustered. I'm not saying, right, yes, and or they get flushed. Like it didn't look like he, I won't say he was drinking, but it looked like he was just flushed, you know. And so that clip reminded me of that Facebook conversation that I had with someone. And it actually, and I will say that conversation went well until some random crazy ball came in and kind of fucked up the situation. But anyway, so, okay. So in this next clip, Ricky is talking about what he went through and what he saw.
There's no excusing that. Why would you have an announcement so grand that would probably disappoint or excite a lot of people? Why would you have that announcement in prime time? You wanted riots. There's no other explanation, because shortly after the protests happened, and we'll kind of get to this a little bit later, but shortly after they began, I personally watched officers firing rubber bullets and tear gas canisters into crowds before any rioting took place at all. So if you get shot with a rubber bullet or you have a tear gas canister shot at you when you were peacefully protesting and you don't riot, you're kind of you're an amazing human being, but you are not most people. Most people would want to riot because it's uncalled for. It's a response, it's a violent response to uncalled for violence, honestly.
When he said that, actually made me think, like, which person or would I be that person? You know, if I got shot with a rubber bullet or if tear gas or whatever, would I be that person that would respond with violence, or could I maintain a level head and still be in the mode where I could be peaceful? And my answer is, I really don't know. I don't know what I would do.
I honestly don't think I could.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the clash of emotional pain and physical pain would, like, literally turn into an Incredible Hulk. And I probably would lose my life. I probably would, because I don't think I would be able to stop myself at that point. You know, I would see red and
right,
go after one of them dudes.
Right. I mean, and I guess that's the thing. I think that some people forget that just sometimes when you're just so frustrated and you feel so helpless that you don't know what else to do, you know. Now, granted, I don't condone them, you know, people burning down. And I did hear, I think that even on the show, they talked about somebody had a tape of cops starting fires, which is really weird. And I wanted to look that up because I didn't get the chance to see that. But I guess just to make it look, you know, like it was, you know, people out there were acting like crazy balls. I don't know. I really don't know in that moment who I would be. We like to think how we would react to a situation until we actually get in that situation. And then it's like you said, it's like, I might Incredible Hulk that joint. You know, I don't know. I really don't know. You know, so hats off to him for being on the ground.
Did you hear anything to the effect of in standoff situations or whatever, where there were at times mixtures of looters and peaceful protesters, and the cops were going after the people that were just standing and just peacefully protesting and just letting the guys loot and just have their way?
You could see that on the news.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know if it was, I mean, because I wasn't there, so I don't know, and I have no idea of the area. It's like, was someone else like over there and the people protesting were like way over there? So it's like, you know, you guys were so concentrated in one area you didn't see what was happening over there. Right. I don't know, you know. For me not being there, I don't know. I mean, unfortunately, it's like we only get to see what the media shows us, or we get to see, you know, luckily people have like cell phones with cameras on them, so we get to see, you know, things from a different angle now versus just taking the media's word for what the hell is going on mm-hmm. now. You know what I mean? So, okay. So this next clip I'm going to do in two parts so we can talk about it. So you can go ahead and play B and we'll talk about it at the pause.
The story Wilson tells goes like this. At about noon on August 9th, Wilson hears on the radio that there's a theft in progress at the Ferguson Market. The suspect is a black male in a black shirt. Moments later, Wilson sees two young black men walking down the yellow stripe in the center of the street. He pulls over. Hey, guys, don't you walk on the sidewalk. They refuse. We're almost at our destination, one of them replies. Wilson tries again, but what's wrong with the sidewalk, he asks. And then things got weird. Brown's response to what's wrong with the sidewalk, as recorded by Wilson, is fuck what you have to say. Remember, Wilson is a uniformed police officer in a police car, and Brown is an 18-year-old kid who just committed a robbery. And when asked to use the sidewalk, Wilson says Brown replied, fuck what you have to say.
Like, really? Really? He would... I don't know. I mean, I don't know this kid from fucking another kid. I don't know. Right. But... in a cop car, you would think a kid would be like, you know, just, he would say that?
Right. And see, the thing about it is, I was the kid that, who had a lawyer mom, so my mouth was a little smarter than most of the kids in the neighborhood mm-hmm. when it dealt with asshole cops and stuff like that. And, but even with that, I never went there.
Right.
I would say some... I would say things real smart-assy, mm-hmm. you know, but not that.
Right.
I mean, that is roll out the red mat, please beat my ass talk.
How there. About it? Right.
You know, I don't give a fuck what's going on.
Right. And I'm pretty sure his parents probably talked to him like, hey, you know, we may not like cops like that, but
right.
when you encounter a cop, this is the protocol.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I can see them being kids and being like, oh man, come on, we're almost to our destination. Why we gotta walk on the sidewalk? Why you being like a butthole? Or why you being like that? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I mean, we weren't there, but I just don't see it going down like that, you know? Nah. You know, I mean, and they even talk about it a little bit further.
And you know what else I don't see?
What?
I don't care, white people. Get offended if you want. I don't see a white cop being able to regurgitate what was said to him anyway. I don't think a white cop would be able to say, oh yes, and then he said fuck what you know. He's, you know what I'm saying? I just have him fucking that whole slang up.
Yeah,
it just kind of feels like someone said, all right, he said this,
right? So you feel like he was coached,
right?
Okay.
I don't see him saying, you know, if it was like a black cop, I can hear him saying, yeah, you know, then the dude say, you know, fuck what you said or fuck what you heard.
Right.
I don't have a right. Well, he said something. He said, fuck me and fuck something. And
right. I ain't gonna lie. I just heard that clip and I don't even remember what the fuck he said. So right. Damn if I could remember if I was him. So especially in the heat of the moment. But anyway. All right. So we're going to play this next clip and talk about it.
In addition to that, he's also pointed out, he said that Mike Brown, as he turned around, had the expression or the face of a demon. What was the other thing that he?
He was bulking up. He was like a five year old against Hulk Hogan.
Right. That Darren Wilson said he felt like a 5 year old holding Hulk Hogan. When in reality, Darren Wilson is 6'4", 210, 215. Mike Brown is 6'4", 289. So there's about a 65 pound difference.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we know like a 70 pound difference can be a big deal. But in this instance, it's not like Darren Wilson was 5'7 and 180 pounds. And then you have Mike Brown, who was 6'4 and 280. You know, those are two totally different you know, sizes. But if they're the same thing, okay, come on, that's a little bit different. And the whole demon thing, I'm like, we already know that a lot of people look at black people as not real, or, you know, or demons or devils or whatever. I remember my dad told me when he was in the military and he was, you know, overseas, and it was like, you know, he had some friends that were Asian, and they asked him like, oh, wait, we thought black people grew tails at night. Like, real, for real? Like, that's what y'all really thought, black? Okay. You know, and so it's just kind of like, I guess, I don't know, I guess from slavery, the stereotype is just, you know, have been, you know, perpetuated by, you know, people in the media and the news and just everything that's going on. And it's kind of like, you know, I just find it hard to believe, like, that young man turned around and just, you know, as we were saying earlier, turned into the Incredible Hulk or turned into a demon, especially when you're dealing with somebody that has a billy club, a taser, and a gun. Let's not forget a gun, you know. And I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, maybe something didn't happen in the car, or he pulled them in the car and they started tussling or whatever. But I just feel like maybe once he was outside of that car, you know, things were different. And, you know, and I know people are like, oh, you weren't there, you don't know. Because I on one of the Facebook posts, I asked someone, I was like, well, you don't know. I asked them, I said, do you know Mike Brown? Were you there? You know, because the way they talked about the situation, they acted like they were there. And I know that they weren't.
No doubt. Queen, if I could, I want to wrap this segment up. Sort of the way we started it, with the things that you read.
Okay, before you do, I would like to say, if you do want to find this podcast again, it's the Americans United Against podcast. And you can find them at AUADOT.org on Twitter.
No doubt. So as we go to break, I came across this thing on Facebook, and to me it was the biggest setup video of all time, especially with what's going on right now. Mm-hmm. And it was a video basically saying, hey, I don't know if you people know, but you can say I don't answer questions. Oh, did boy. You see? Have you seen that one?
You know what? I didn't want to. I don't know. Someone was like, "Don't even click and watch this because you're gonna be pissed off." But right. But good to hear it.
Is there some reason you can't roll the window down? I saw you roll it up.
I don't answer questions.
You don't answer questions.
That's correct.
What's the reason for that?
I don't answer questions.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good. Do you know this lady back here in the accident? Or?
I don't answer questions.
Okay. Well, have a nice day, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Can I help you?
Are you Kenneth Suter?
I don't answer questions. Can I help you?
I was looking for a Kenneth Suter.
I don't answer questions.
I don't answer questions.
Pronounce your last name for me.
I don't answer questions.
Now, basically what's going on in this video is this white guy, and he's, I guess, somehow gotten himself into situations where he's being pulled over by the police, or the police have come to his house.
Damn, that was multiple?
Yeah, that was like six scenes.
Okay, it sounded like different, you know, I heard the different voices, but I wasn't sure.
And so like the cop walks up to his car, he like cracks his window 1 inch, like just enough to slide his ID and registration out. And the cop is looking at him like, yo, what the fuck is this, you know? Mm. And they're asking him these questions, and he's like, I don't answer questions. Mm. So I'm going to finish it up. It's only a few more seconds.
I'm going to need you to pronounce your last name.
I don't answer questions. It's there on the license.
I don't answer questions.
Is there a reason why?
I don't answer questions.
Do you have an understanding?
You too.
Can you give me your phone number?
I don't answer questions.
Okay, is there anybody here that can't answer questions?
Don't answer questions.
Okay. I'm not sure how to respond to that, sir.
Sorry. Okay. Have a nice evening.
Okay. I'll be back.
And then it says, never talk to police. You.
Okay.
Listen here, people. You can try that stupid shit if you like.
I was about to say that. You can go ahead and try that. Hell, I wouldn't even try that. I'd be like, Mom, B, somebody, anybody, can you bail me out?
Come on. Before you bail me out, can you go back to the scene and pick my freaking teeth up off the ground?
How about that?
What the fuck? Anyway, let's get out of here now. Hey, y'all, be safe, man. Hey, B, love you, boy.
Can I talk my shit again?
What's up, y'all? This is Drew Baby, 1/4 of the IDS Network. Can I talk my shit? Okay. Shit talking today is about hashtag SYO, otherwise known as support your own. Problem. People ain't supporting their own. It's too many motherfuckers out here on social networks, plugging celebrity news, plugging alcohol, just plugging shit that is not financially doing them no good. Now, granted, if you support your own, technically, you not getting nothing from that either. But on the other hand, you showing support to people that you know. People that you know is going to give back in some shape, form, or fashion to you and the people that are supporting and encouraging them. All this liking when somebody puts something up, especially people that are trying to start a business or, you know, promote a cause or what have you. You can like it all you want. What are you doing to support it? Support is not just liking. Support is not just saying that you are going to do something just for the sake of somebody liking the fact that you say you're going to support something. Support is actually going out there and supporting, doing what you need to do, be it sharing it, be it calling a person up and asking, what could you do to make sure their business or their cause gets out there? What position can you play in doing so? So, enough random. I'm over my 2 minutes. Hashtag SYO. People, support your own. Fuck the rest. They not tripping. All right, I'm out.
Wow. Another show.
Another show.
In the bank.
Yup.
I think I was going to make it through that one, Queen.
Yeah. That was actually a lot calmer than I thought it was going to be. I just want to put that out there.
No doubt. One more thing I want to add with that Black Astronaut show. At the end of the show, Kai came on and read a poem that she did about the whole situation.
Oh, nice.
And it was beautiful.
Yeah, don't forget when you're looking for it, it's hashtag Ferguson Off My Chest episode of the Black Astronauts. Okay. So, and I'd like to thank Miss Drew Baby for doing her Can I Talk My Shit? TP. So don't forget, if you guys are interested in doing a Can I Talk My Shit, you can send it to recaptherecap@gmail.com.
Real quick, someone stopped me in Safeway, and they were like, I want to do a segment, but I don't curse.
You don't have to curse.
I'm like, are you serious?
You mean they want to do a Can I Talk My Stuff?
Can I say stuff or can I say something else?
Absolutely. You could say stuff.
Because they said that they don't even like to use ish because it's really derivative.
Can I talk my stuff?
So they said, could they say stuffish? I was like, sure.
You sure can. Send it in. Thanks for listening, guys. We really appreciate it. Bye.